if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome here to this here episode here of BRB UK, which is here, and the number is 376. And who's that over there? It's Coleman.
Hi.
I'm Dan Coleman. I forgot to introduce myself. Hey, buddy. Oh, Jesus. Coleman has spent a lot of time crafting a brand new soundboard for himself, which gives him no end of amusement.
No longer is there a phone plugged into the mixer. It's now like a full thing.
You know, this is why we can't have nice things, Coleman.
Why not?
Because you do like that.
Well, no, it's good.
Right.
Well, I mean, Tim's not here. That's not the reason it's good.
I mean, it means we can actually... Well, I mean, makes your editing life a lot easier for a start.
Well, yeah, it makes it easier, but also we can just have Tim in when we need him.
Basically...
There we go. So we're going to turn over to Mr. Hibbs for his opinion on this important matter. Tim, what's your feelings on this?
I miss Timmy Hibbs.
An excellent point.
I don't have many Tim clips.
Well, that's because he only says three words.
He says basically, and...
menus.
Those are Tim noises.
Tim noises. So how the devil are you anyway?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm pretty damn good. I'm just rearing for the second show this week.
So for those of you who didn't tune in last time, basically... Sorry, I'm just channeling my inner Tim there. We did do a show, crack a dawdle, a new year, but there were some audio difficulties. So we had to do a brand new show at the beginning of this week, which was only a couple of days ago. So we're going to be slightly vamping, not going to lie.
If you want to go further back, the entire story is we were going to take 4 weeks off. And in that time, before we had 4 weeks off, we were going to record 4 half-hour mini shows to put out. One each week while we're away. So it seems like an easy transition for while we're gone to when we come back. We get
How'd
a nice break.
Out?
You get a nice show. We did 2 shows that weren't half an hour long each. Together, they were over 2 hours.
It's an
and
epic.
And I got angry and we didn't do another 2 shows.
That's what we do every week. We say rubbish into a mic, Coleman gets grumpy about it.
After 4 weeks off, we weren't quite in the swing of things to begin with. And then after that, all my audio went kablooey. And then we had to do a second show because of that. And then at the end of the show, Tim dropped the bombshell that this show was meant to be out the next day. And now we're here, ready to do the second show this week.
So the too long didn't read version of that is, thanks, Tim.
And he took the second show off, so, you know.
What is he actually doing today?
Tim's on assignment.
Is he on assignment? That sounds exciting.
Yeah, he's at the UK Toy Fair.
Ooh. Anyway.
Anywho.
I look forward to Tim's real-time recollection of the Toy Fair as we sit through a 7.5-hour epic about how he opened the door and walked through the door, and then he talked to a nice man who gave him an ID badge, and he then put his ID badge
basically,
on, and then he went inside, and then he went into another room which had lights on it. They were quite bright, but they weren't too bright. This will go on for several hours. We'll spare you all of it, dear listeners.
Interesting, sir. Interesting.
I've only got 4 buttons.
I miss Timmy Hibbs.
That's all of them.
There we go. Right. News. Headlines. Someone has posted a series of photos of a prototype Xbox Series X. I always have brain fart about what to call it because I know it's not the Xbox One Series X. Not an Xbox One X, an Xbox One Series X. They're different, okay? Right, great. Glad we sorted that out.
Or the Xbox OSX.
Or the Xox.
Xox. Oh, we've done it.
Xox.
We've got an... Yay, Xox. We've got a name.
Well done. Right, that's it. Show's over.
We were the first to this. We've invented the X-Bone for this generation.
We have. We're great and stuff.
Excellent.
So, some bright spark who is clearly... either works for Microsoft or has a parent or a guardian who works for Microsoft or a sibling who works for Microsoft, decided now that they've got a pre-release console in their home, the only way to service their e-genitalia and tell everyone how marvellous their e-genitalia is was to take some photos of it and then post it to NeoGAF without, and this is the really truly idiotic bit, without obfuscating the serial. number. So whoever has been assigned that Xbox prototype has just got fired.
Microsoft don't mess around with this kind of stuff. Like, we've heard stories of, I think the last big one I heard was the Gears of War re-release, where they did the Ultimate Edition of Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
And people were doing tests on that, and someone ended up streaming a section of it, and the entire company got all their dev kits pulled.
Yeah, so someone is in the big poo-poos over this. But anyway, what does it tell us? It tells us that, as expected, it's a big, well, a big-ish. I don't think it's as big as we think.
Biggish grey-black box.
Much like I anticipate many a console in the coming generation to be. In terms of stuff that people are getting excited about, it's only got the one HDMI port, which means thank goodness there's none of this pass-through nonsense.
Well, that's not been present in the last two iterations of the Xbox One.
No.
Three, if you count the diskless system.
Yes, indeed. But it does mean that the double HDMI madness of Don Matrick is finally put to rest.
It does mean if your television's only got two HDMI ports and you've got three consoles, you can no longer wire one through your Xbox.
Oh, but the input lag was horrendous on it.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, it was pretty bad.
Nah, I got away with putting my Switch on it for a bit until I went out and bought a splitter.
But what other things has it got? It's got a power port, unsurprisingly. It's got an Ethernet port and two USB 3s on the back and one USB, don't know what kind, on the front with a disk drive.
Those were, well, on the front, I'm not sure. On the back, yeah, two Type A ports.
Two USB A's. No USB C, interestingly.
No.
Bearing in mind that the Xbox One Elite controller has got an Xbox C, what? A USB C port on top of it. So that's a little bit of a surprise, but hey, you know, that's easily something that could be put in future hardware iterations.
In regards to the front port, there's no SS logo on it, so that usually, there's no, I can't see any blueness inside, so that usually indicates that it's a 2.0, but that might just be an aesthetic choice because it's, you know, very minimalist on the front of the box.
Indeedy. And the only other thing of note, it looks like in this prototype, because there was some talk about Microsoft saying, you don't need to have it upright, you can lie on its side, and people going, oh, yay, that means that there's going to be an automatically, correctly aligning Xbox logo on it. No, it looks like the Xbox One logo is positioned in such a way that it'll only look right the right way up. If you put it the wrong way up, it'll look wrong.
You don't know, that thing might be twistable.
Nah.
I bet it isn't, but it might be.
Nah. Goodness knows.
I'm thinking
knows.
Of like the PS2, where you could turn the little logo yourself.
Oh, you could do it, actually. I had quite a little satisfying little to it.
Yeah, it was cool when you found that out.
It was. Xbox One prototype is a prototype.
Also, there's a mystery slot on the back.
That has been confirmed as a diagnostic port.
Oh, okay. I will shut my face.
Shut your face, Coleman. You can't really tell much else about it. I mean, whoever it is whoever is associated with that serial number is probably no longer working for Microsoft.
Bit silly.
Anyway, so it's not only prototypey, interesty things that Microsoft's been up to this week. There has been a new Nintendo Switch patent revealing a touchpen attachment for Joy-Cons. Now, I don't know why. Why is this an attachment for a Joy-Con? Why isn't this just a standalone Bluetooth pen with pressure sensitivity?
Well, I'll start off by saying that this we get a lot of patent news come through, and most of it's not really that interesting. I love Nintendo stuff because half the stuff they prototype they put patents in for don't come to pass, but it's always mad stuff to look at, and that's why I like it. And this one is no different. They've taken the attachment for when you play a Joy-Con on a singular Joy-Con on its own to add the little shoulder pads on, and that basically has a little stylus attachment to it, and so it can piggyback on the power of the actual Joy-Con itself.
Of the cloud?
Well, the use of the HD rumble and stuff like that, I'd assume.
But what do you do? What do you do? What do you do if you've got one of those Switch-like things? Huh? How are you meant to write? It's lightest, is what it is. It's e-lightest.
I mean, at extra cost, you can purchase extra Joy-Cons and use them with the Switch Lite.
I mean, it just seems to be, I mean, Nintendo, bless your little consoles, this very much seems to be an answer to a question no one's really asked.
There is an official Nintendo stylus that you can buy for, I think it was Super Mario Maker 2,
mm-hmm.
which, for some reason, is only available in Europe and not in the US. And then you can go out and buy like a cheapy stylus that will work with this, a regular touchpad stylus. And then they went, okay, how about we build one in for the controller, and you could use it for drawing, but also you could use it to play games where you need to point to things and it will interact with said things. It sounds like you draw, you know?
Why does like this... I draw?
No, do you not remember?
Oh, for the Wii thing, U, yes,
the thing that accidentally tanked THQ when they went, here's the U draw for the Wii, and they went, this sold really well because people bought ridiculous peripherals for the Wii all the time. And then THQ went, oh, well, obviously this is popular. We need to make loads of these and ship them for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, and lost lots of money for it.
Well, the one thing I will say is that it is quite an interesting way to change what the Joy-Con controllers do, if by popping something on the top of it you can augment its functionality or make it into a kind of a quote-unquote new controller. I mean, that's quite cool, but I don't think there's any direct communication, though, between the little plastic bit you put on the top and the Joy-Con itself.
No, it just looks like it's got the regular plus button to undo the thing. It's got the shoulder pads as normal, but then it's got a little stylus nub sticking out the side, and it kind of negates the basic function of a stylus, which is feeling like you're holding a pen or a pencil because yeah. You're now holding a Joy-Con.
How would that actually? Yeah, that's going
to
be weird.
Well, you'd have to hold like a full fist with the thing down so you can pretend you're colouring like a child.
So hold it like a fit in your fist.
I don't go over the lines.
Yeah, someone has to be like, now don't eat it. Okay. No eating the Joy-Con, okay? All right.
But it tastes like green.
Seriously, it's great you do this stuff, Nintendo, but sometimes just stop and ask, does anyone want this?
Is this a thing? Should it be a thing? Why is it a thing? Why does it need to be a thing?
Why? Just why? Just why? Just concentrate on why. Why?
Why do we do what we do?
Why? Talking of why, a Nintendo actually says with a segue that's virtually undetectable. There's been some brouhaha in Germany with Nintendo recently.
Germany is known for its brouhaha.
It's known for its brouhahas, but this isn't a classic brouhaha.
Oh.
So the EU, remember that. We were once part of it. So the Norwegian Consumer Council, who also obviously Norway's part of the EU, raised concerns over Nintendo's digital sales practices, which basically says if you buy something on the eShop, you waive your consumer right of cancelling. So the wording is, I consent that Nintendo begins with the performance of its obligations before the cancellation period ends, and I therefore acknowledge that I lose my right to cancel. So that means if you pre-order something digitally, you are committed to follow through with it. You cannot cancel. And this interpretation of it by Nintendo has been basically ratified by a German court, which means it's now European case law.
Oh.
So this is a little bit of a worrying precedent, I think. I mean, obviously an appeal's been lodged, but, you know, does that mean digital pre-orders you are absolutely committed to? And how does that jive with review embargoes? You know, if you want to get something and there's pre-order potential goodies that you might want should you want to go through with the purchase of the game, depending on the reviews, then, I don't know, it seems a bit dodgy to me.
It does. And I know a lot of the kind of rules with pre-ordering digital has changed, especially with this current generation of consoles. I do remember there was a point where on the PS4 store especially, they were quite happy for you to go, I wish to pre-order this without putting any money down. And they were like, yep, that's absolutely fine. Not realizing that someone could pre-order a game, get the pre-order bonuses, and then cancel the game. And that's, you know, that seemingly all changed. The good favor has ruined things. So
that's why we can't have nice things, people. It's like Coleman with his soundboard. That's why we can't have nice things.
I'll admit, I've done it myself.
Ah.
Where I've pre-ordered, I think it was the first Hitman game on the PS4. Because the only way you could play the beta was by pre-ordering the game. I was like, well, I want to play the beta to decide if I want the game. And then I played the beta and went, I want this game at a later date. So cancelled the pre-order. You know, that's kind of just coming out of the actual companies themselves. So when we're talking about a legal standpoint, yeah, it gets quite muddy when we're looking at an all digital future potentially.
Absolutely. So anyway, that will doubtless run throughout the courts. But yeah, probably be a little careful if you're pre-ordering stuff, and God knows what's going to happen with consumer rights in the UK over the next couple of months. So
well, that's it. If it comes European law, then depending on times, we might be okay.
We might be all right, or we could have an even more ridiculous law put in its place.
We're on fire everywhere, but we can cancel pre-orders of digital games.
We are on fire everywhere, and let's not forget it's a Tory government, so anything that's in the favour of big business is on the table. So anyway, before we get into too much of that, I demand that my points get interested.
Sure.
Start on the left one first, please.
The left one? Oh, your points.
Left one.
I see.
Yeah, left one of my points. Thank you.
Hold on. Let me just find something relevant for... There you go. How about that one?
Rawr.
Oh, yeah, you like that one.
I like that one.
Good.
Lovely. What's going on then, Coleman? Tell me. Interest me. I demand to be interested.
Well, did you try Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yes, loved it very much.
You liked it very much, did you? Loved it very much.
Best ginger individual of 2018, if memory serves, or 2017, maybe.
So there's a lot of rumours going around, and pretty credible ones, that we could be looking at a follow-up to Horizon Zero Dawn for the PlayStation 5.
Well, what a bloody surprise, yes.
Look at the logo for PlayStation 5. And there's been a new job listing at Guerrilla that might shed some light on if this new Horizon, what could be entailed in this new Horizon Zero Dawn. So the listing for the job requires someone to work. It's talking about game features that involve ranged and melee weapons, combat and traversal mechanics. But it also says that it's an open world with multiplayer elements as well.
Animal Crossing, coming to PS5.
Exactly. Look at the logo! So we could very well be looking at either Horizon Zero Dawn, a sequel to that, with some form of multiplayer either embedded into the single player with the open world, or the same tradition with some kind of multiplayer mode bolted on. Or we could be looking at a new game from Guerrilla with some kind of multiplayer focus. Myself, I quite like that world of Horizon Zero Dawn with the big robot dinos and stuff. I wouldn't mind fighting that with a friend, kind of like a, I don't know, Monster Hunter fighting robots.
If this is for, I mean, I don't know, it looks like a substantive post rather than a temporary post, having a look at it. Not that I'm applying for it.
Are you?
Well, it seems... If this is for PS5 launch, you know, this person's going to be working directly on the game engine. That's cutting it pretty fine. Still be tweaking the engine, I would think, for a console launch in 10 months. That seems pretty tight. Squeaky bum timed. So it might not get out for launch, would be my guess.
I don't think we're going to get one for launch anyway, but
yeah.
I've been wrong. We'll see.
So I'd love to see another Horizon Zero Dawn. It's a great game.
I need to go back and do the Frozen Wilds, the DLC expansion.
Either, actually, I did like single player game, even though the appearance of the voice actor for Zavala did slightly surprise me. He did. He appeared right at the end of the game.
Good.
Nearly end of the game.
Yeah, I need to get back into that. I'll probably need to do a refresh course on the main game before going to the DLC because.
Right, the last Ginger time Girl.
I mean on the mechanics, because the last time I tried to jump back in,
the animals are mechanic.
I know what I was doing.
Right, okay. It was great. I loved it. Good game. What the hell is Project Mara?
Project Mara is the new project from Ninja Theory, which are the guys that are now owned by Microsoft, who made Hellblade and DMC Devil May Cry, the best Devil May Cry game.
Do you know what? This sounds like a lovely, light-hearted game where you can just kick back and relax.
Well, not really, Dan.
Really?
No.
Lovely. Project Mara. Mara's a nice, friendly name. It's have a nice little hug.
When looking into this game, it's got something that you love, especially.
Right.
It's got a quote.
Oh, I love a quote. Go on, hit me with it.
No, I think you should with your American accent.
Project Mara will be a real-world and grounded representation of mental terror. Mental terror? Jesus.
You should say terror.
Terror, said Ninja Theory in a press statement based on real-lived experienced accounts and in-depth research. The goal is to recreate the horrors of the mind as accurately and realistically as possible. Project Mara will be an experimental title and a showcase of what could become a new storytelling medium.
So it looks like we could be getting some pretty in-depth storytelling, a bit like Hellblade, where there's not really a lot of dialogue going on around you, so you've got to experience the world around you, and that kind of brings you your story. But if they are going on, and there's a lot of horror elements to Hellblade. I remember all the whispering of like sick thoughts and things in that game, and the visuals and stuff being very dark and dingy. But the idea of taking, and I don't know if they mean when they say based on real lived experiences, accounts, and in-depth research, they're talking like ghost stories or people, you know, some kind of traumatic event or something. I'm really interested to see what will come of this, because I'm getting into my horror lately. I don't know about you.
Are you? Well, yeah. That's nice for you, mate.
Yeah, I blame the Conjuring films.
Okay, fair enough.
Dan, did you like Left 4 Dead?
I love Left 4 Dead.
Did you like Left 4 Dead 2?
I did like Left 4 Dead 2.
How would you like Left 4 Dead 3?
Well, I could leave a bit more dead, actually.
Oh, fair enough. Well, there's no more deading for you to leave, I'm afraid. You'll have to leave it dead, because...
What?
It's been one of those rumours that keeps...
Why get my hopes up?
I'm sorry,
hopes up?
To be fair, you had the agenda. You could have read ahead of time.
Oh, I'm trying to keep up the pretense of being surprised by things.
So, Left 4 Dead 3 has been a long-running rumour for... so long in the games industry.
Almost as long as Half-Life 3.
Yeah, and I remember at the time of reporting on Orbis that I was reporting on Left 4 Dead 3 being a thing. There's been hidden codes that seem to point to Left 4 Dead 3. There have been people that have toured Valve and taken screenshots, photographs of code on screen that seem to point to Left 4 Dead 3 and Left 4 Dead 3, and there's apparently nothing, because Valve denied any kind of development on Left 4 Dead. And they've even gone as far to say there is no Left 4 Dead 3 in the works at the moment. There is no Left 4 Dead title in works at the moment. So it's not we're not working on Left 4 Dead 3. And then in a week's time, they go, oh, Left 4 Dead Arising.
I'd love it if Gabe Newell actually did that. Went, oh, Left 4 Dead.
That's the new title. Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead. Yeah, actually, thinking about it, have Valve ever released a game that has the number 3 in the title? Did they just have an irrational fear of the number 3 and therefore refuse to release any game with the number 3 in it?
I'm pretty sure that's the first internet computer meme, is that Valve can't use the word the number 3.
What is the fancy name for
fear of threes?
It's triskophobia, apparently. They have triskophobia.
There you go. Gabe Newell has triskophobia.
Triskophobia.
Triskophobia. It's a nice word.
Yeah, it's a nice word. It's quite satisfying.
I like it. I didn't really get along with Left 4 Dead 2, but I remember a lot about playing Left 4 Dead. And recently, I remember someone going, I have finally got myself a gaming PC, which means I can finally play Left 4 Dead the way it was intended to be played. And it's like Rayman and Pac-Man and anime girls and stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is a very good tweet. I like this.
I've now gone down the rabbit hole of random phobias.
I might go down the rabbit hole of random fan mods to Left 4 Dead. That seems like it could be fun.
Whoa.
Okay, Dan's in a weird loop of looking up phobias. What have you found?
Wow, there's a... this is like Rule 32. But phobias, if you think of it, there's a phobia for it. Papusophobia, that's fear of your grandfather.
Could you find a phobia specifically of airports while I do this next story?
I can do flight attendants.
That'll work.
Aerosynodophobia.
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 Just rolls off the tongue.
Aerosynodophobia.
And the reason for the airport. So a little dumb thing I wanted to throw in, just because I wanted to put the picture in as well. There was an Apex Legend player who was feeling the need for his fix of Apex Legends on his PlayStation 4. So he whipped it out of his bag in a airport in Portland, at Portland International Airport, and decided to disconnect a monitor that was displaying a map of the airport and plug in Apex Legends. I'm assuming he's tethering to his phone and then start off a ranked match to, non-surprisingly, the security guard walking over and telling him to disconnect that right away. he asked if he could then finish his game, to which which the balls on that person. Sorry, yeah, I'll unplug it. Could I just finish this match? I'm doing very well.
Well, I mean, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, mate.
Yeah, apparently that was declined, and the guy had to disconnect. There's no real story here, but there's an image of a man playing Apex Legends in an airport.
I mean, kind of got to admire him just for the sheer audacity of, like, oh yeah, this is an acceptable thing to do.
It's a good effort. Maybe invest in some kind of portable monitor if you really need the fix there. I've been detained in airports. You can be in there for a long time. Maybe he's there for a 12-hour layover.
Whoa, there's rewind that. You've been detained in an airport.
Not like detained, like taken away. I mean,
right.
What's the correct terminology?
Held up, delayed.
Held up, delayed. There you go. You know, you can be in airports for a long time, and it does look pretty empty in that airport, but the ball's on the guy.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
That's all the news we got, Dan.
We don't really have much to talk about, really, either. I haven't had a chance to play much since Thursday, apart from lament the anticlimax that was that big Destiny 2 community puzzle.
Oh, what, the you can now get your Bastion gun?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Do you have your Bastion gun?
I have my Bastion gun.
How is it?
It's... meh. It's all right. There are better guns.
You want to help me get a Bastion gun?
I will happily help you get a Bastion gun because this excited me greatly.
Okay.
If you have a look on our Discord, I saw on my Steam feed, Coleman plays Destiny 2 for the first time.
Coleman has a gaming spec PC.
Yeah, he does. Oh, I'm so happy. You're one of us now.
Before you get too excited, it was only because after the issues with the podcast last week, I tried to sort the laptop out and see what was going wrong, and it would crash and blue screen. And it then got to a point where the blue screen, where it would, you know what the Windows blue screen looks like. It's like, hey, hold on, we're getting your information.
It tries to be all chummy and upbeat about it. Yeah, hey, don't worry, you just lost everything you were working on, but it's okay because you're great.
Blue screen of death is more blue screen of mild inconvenience these days. And it's like, hey, don't worry, we're getting your details. And it would start to roll the percentage up. The percentage would never roll. And it crashed a further two times, but this time it wouldn't display the message in full, as it had like weird static lines running through it. It went, I think the laptop's finally died. It's been on its last legs for a long time, so it was time to finish the desktop off, and now it's ready to go, and we're all good.
Now, every time I used to bang on about 60 frames a second,
mm-hmm.
I could hear the eyes rolling, but Destiny 2 at 60 frames a second is quite nice compared to the 30 frames a second on the console.
Yes, it does look nice. I struggle to see a massive difference in a lot of the stuff that I can get at 60 frames. But the biggest impressive thing for me was I wanted to try something real quick. So I logged into the Steam link while I was at work and booted up Destiny. Just go, wonder what that looks like. And yeah, it looks flipping spectacular on your mobile phone over Wi-Fi. So I was really impressed with that. And using a little USB thing, I could connect a mouse and keyboard and carry on playing if I wanted to. But I suck at mouse and keyboard, so that didn't happen.
We'll sort you out with that. But no, I will happily... Are you free to play editioning it on the PC at the moment?
Yes, I am all up to date now. I mean, not up to date game-wise, but the expansion-wise I am. So I can jump in any time. The main reason it's there for, you know, it's there for site stuff. It's there for podcast stuff, video stuff, animation stuff. So that's the first point. Gaming just happens to be there. But I did try.
Be quiet.
I tried some things just to see how well I could really do. I can get.
I'll break you. I will make you play games on that thing.
So I tried a few things. I went back into Destiny to give it a go.
So have you actually bought the expansions on PC, or is it just
all up to date now?
So you've bought everything.
Yeah, they do a nice little deal at the moment on that as well.
Oh, nice!
And I loaded up my Xbox Game Pass stuff, so I've got my my Outer Worlds on there, which I don't know if you can cross save on there, because I could get cross saves booting up for everything else but that.
Okay.
I've got Forza Horizon running on there. That looks really, really nice. Forza Horizon 4.
Isn't that nice?
And I got to that was the main reason was I wanted to install that to look at it on ultra settings and go, ooh, that does look pretty, doesn't it?
See, so presumably then mm-hmm. you spent some time building your PC.
Yes.
So talk me through the specs, Coleman, and talk me through the experience of building, because it's nowhere near as hard as people think it is.
Well, it is. I got help from a friend. I'm using an i5, I've got 8 gig of RAM, I've got a 256 gigabyte solid state drive.
Good for you, though, man. I mean, it's you know, it is good fun. It is really, really good fun. And the moddability of games on the PC is just awesome.
I mean, it's not even the games thing. It's more like, so I have to run some filters over and process the audio for our podcast before I start editing the podcast. And usually it's about an hour job, and I did it in 10 minutes last week. So I was very impressed.
Wow. Nice.
You know, and rushing through the show, I could do it in like an hour and a half. So, it was really nice to have that kind of benefit. It's good to have a PC that works as intended. And with my last one, I had your free upgrade to Windows 10, which I did, and then it crapped out immensely, and just I had to be completely reset and went back to Windows 8. And then after some time and some patches and stuff, I went, all right, should be ready for Windows 10. Tried it again. Same thing happened. So it's nice to actually run on Windows 10 and have some of those nice features that run with Windows 10, because it's a nice operating system when you can get it working properly.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. But yeah, I'm just happy to have a working piece of machinery again, you know?
That sounds like it could be any working piece of machinery. That's not awfully specific. It's like, I've got a great trouser press now. I've got a working piece of machinery. That's marvellous.
In terms of a PC, like back in the day, it used to be I go to work, I'd have a really rubbish PC to work with. I go home, I'd have a very nice PC to work with. But for the latest time, it's been like, I go to work and I've got an i7 and 16 gig of RAM. And then I come home and I'm like,
ugh. Damn it.
So it's nice to have something that's moderately fast again and I can do stuff with. And that means I can go back to extra projects. And there's a lot of stuff I've missed out on over the years that I've been missing doing. So it's, it's a good thing to have. And it's all, it's all moddable and future-proofed and stuff. So that's going to be good.
Well, may your temperatures be low.
Yeah.
And your frame rates be high.
What's coming up in gaming next? What can we look forward to? Because we were offered Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, but I got so busy in doing what, with work and site stuff this week, so I couldn't really go, yes, I would love to review this game that I have no time to play whatsoever. So, and by all accounts of reviews I've heard, it's a bit of a grind fest.
Yeah, what I'm quite looking for, I'm looking forward to, even though it's not for another 6 weeks or so, I'm looking forward to the new Ori game.
Yes, Ori and the something,
Will-O-Wisps. Then there's Matt Month in completely opposite kind of... opposite kind of feeling to it is Doom Eternal, which apparently is a bit of a technical tour de force.
Is that this month?
I'm quite looking forward to that. And that's March 20th.
Mm.
So we've got to wait a bit. Sorry. We've got to be patient.
What have we got this month?
We've got to be patient.
What have we got this month, Dan?
I don't know. We've got stuff.
What have we got to play?
Well, I'm going to get you your Bastion gun in Destiny.
I am looking forward to jumping into Monster Hunter as well at some point.
Have you bought that on PC?
No, not yet. That's coming.
I'm very tempted. If you're going to do it, I mean, obviously you'll have to start from scratch. If you're in, I'll get it as well.
I was very tempted to.
And then we can do amazing Coleman and Dan streams. Yeah.
I was very tempted to pick up Temtem, the early access. I don't know if you've seen about this. It's essentially PC version of Pokemon, but all accounts of the early access launching, everyone is going, this is horribly broken. So
yeah,
decided against that one.
What is coming up? Journey to the Savage Planet on January 28th.
Oh, I like that game. I played that in preview. It was very fun.
There's a redo of Warcraft. Sorry, I went all terribly Jonathan Ross now. Warcraft Reforged. It's on January 28th as well. There's some Mega Man Dreams on February 14th, of course. So there is a couple of things to keep us going.
I look forward to playing something.
At the moment, not a great deal. I'm still working through my pile of shame.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing at the moment. That's why I was playing The Last of Us. It's not even going back through the games I missed throughout the year. It's just going through games of this generation I've missed.
Yeah, I mean, it has been... I mean, to be fair, I have got and continue to be distracted by Destiny, and I really ought to look at playing some other things at some point.
Really should. You should play some Undertale, which I looked, and my gift version of I sent to you on Steam is still in my outbox. So,
oh, is it? Do I need to claim that?
I think I need to resend it to you. I sent that to you about 2 years ago.
Dan is a poo friend.
Yeah, it's the PC gaming. I'll give that a try. I'll have to resend it.
Yes, but I think we've kind of might have run out of stuff to talk about, because not only have we... The problem is we did a show only a couple of days ago. There's not a lot going on. There's not a lot of games out. And Tim isn't here to talk rubbish for 50 minutes.
Yeah, so we couldn't stretch out any of the news.
No, exactly. So,
Well, we could just wrap up. We'll do our normal wrapping up.
Okay, all right.
We'll do the things we do to wrap up.
Let's wrap up. All right, let's wrap up. Let's do a short show. I'm assuming your Master Race simulation, what you've done played, is actually building a PC.
Yeah, pretty much.
Marvelous. Because there is a PC building simulator, which strikes me as moderately pointless.
No, that looks really good.
Oh, God. Well, so you can phone a friend and he can come round and play the game for
I
you,
I really
Colin.
Want that.
Yeah, well... would you like me to get it for you?
Mate, well, I wouldn't say no to a free copy of that. But yeah, there's a couple of, like, there's a motorbike builder simulator and a car building simulator and a PC building simulator, and they're all around about the same time. Like, these look really good. I kind of want these. I don't know why. Maybe I'm secretly German. I just love simulation games.
Yeah, I don't really know how to respond to that, mate. Not gonna lie. Okay.
Good.
Oh my God, actually, PC Builder Simulator is quite hilarious. Allows you to try and overclock the damn thing as well.
Yeah, I looked at a preview of that a while ago. I was like, this, because it looks stupid, and looked at the preview out of curiosity and went, I really want this now.
Tuesday's Tuesday. Tim usually tells you Tuesday's Tuesday, but we're going to tell you Tuesday's Tuesday. And Tuesday features tabletops and tabletop games on them. So that's Tabletop Tuesday.
Nah.
King Domino is the game. What is a King Domino?
Well, first of all, Dan, I've got to say, each and every Tuesday, we do Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar Dalston in London.
You do.
What is Tabletop Tuesday? That is where you can go down and play tabletop games, including our featured game, which is King Domino, as you said, Dan. That is a 2-4. Player tile placement city builder game, which was a Spiel des Jahres winner in 2017. I don't know if I said that right. Probably didn't.
Spiel des Jahres.
Yeah.
Game of the year.
Yeah. But it's meant to be a friendly game for new players, easy to get into, and one of those ones you can master. If you want to come down to Tabletop Tuesday on the 20th of January, you can go play King Domino. If you play that game, your name will be entered into a raffle. And if you win that raffle, you could be taking the damn game home with yourself that night.
Well, lordy goodness, that excites me in my happy places.
If you don't win and you go, well, I want to play that game again, don't really have the money for it, you could go down to Tabletop Tuesday and play it again, because they'll have a copy for the bar and a copy to give away. But also, if you're thinking, hey, I want to play that game, but I can't make Tabletop Tuesday, following the 28th of January, it's going to be there to play in Dalston, Loading, London.
Bar.
Thing. I nearly called it its old name then. So that is Tabletop Tuesday on the 28th of January in the Loading Bar in Dalston, London. Be there and go play games and have some drinks and touch Tim's face. He loves it.
Not as much as when you give him a little tickle under the chin.
That too.
That's his favourite. He loved your little tickle under the chin. So everyone, please, because I think the chances of Tim actually listening to this are fairly slim. So
basically,
everyone, if you're at Tabletop Tuesday this week or next week, well, on the 28th, there we go. That's a normal way to say
That's
it.
That's a good way of saying it.
Give him a little tickle under the chin.
Also, Tim really likes it if you hold your hand flat under his chin and then count the pats of each time he says a syllable. Really likes that.
Oh, he loves it.
Loves it.
He loves it. He loves Good. It. And then just make sure you're looking at him right in the eye when you're doing all of that.
You should.
And then as you walk off, just go, you're my favourite. And then wander off.
Give him a big hug, sigh deeply, and then say, you're my friend. That's a great way to end a meeting at work. By the way...
It is. I'll hug him and I go, I've got your sweat on me now.
That's Tabletop Tuesday. No community feedback this week, but you could leave community feedback on facebook.com/bigredbarrel, twitter.com/bigredbarrel, or at Big Red Barrel, if that's what you're looking for, or on Discord, which you can find on the front page of bigredbarrel.com.
You certainly can, all of those things.
We've got our own little Big Red Barrel UK hangout section where you can go in and just air your grievances, give some feedback, ask some questions, spout some nonsense. We can have a look. Maybe we'll have something for the show. I reached out for comments this week. I got Bleezy asking if he could be on the show this week, which he then got vetoed by Spiky Cress. So thank you.
Do you know Bleezy, I think, is in Destiny because Saint 14 loves pigeons.
Looking at this new soundboard, there is a Bleezy button.
Is there a Bleezy? Hit it.
I don't know what I'm doing.
That's pretty apt.
Yeah, that's about right.
He got vetoed to come on the show by Spiky Cress, which I found immensely hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. Spiky Chris thinks he can veto all kinds of things.
He does.
It's not behaviour that should be encouraged, quite frankly.
First person to get on and veto Spiky Chris wins a virtual pat on the back.
Excellent. And you also get to tickle Tim under his little chin.
No podcast reviews. You can leave those on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher. Well, I'll see all of those on the algorithm because that's how that works.
Or just trundle onto Discord and go, you know what? You're okay.
You can do that too.
Yeah.
But we like reviews because ranking, all that, apparently it helps.
Yeah.
Apparently, favourite flavour, 5-star, go give one of those. It's all right. It's all right.
I love a crunchy 5-star.
If you've already
star.
Given a review, no, update it. Might have been a while. If you've already done that, no, tell a friend. Tell a friend.
Yeah, Coleman will do anything for a 5-star review, it's true.
You don't understand.
So what we've covered this week is you need to go and fondle Tim in an awkward fashion in Dalston. Mm-hmm. Coleman will do anything for a 5-star review as well.
Correct. I mean, you could even write, like, nasty things, but just make sure it says a 5-star on there. It's fine.
And none of, we're not choosy.
And none of this, oh, I've given you 4 stars, but I'll give you a 5 if you do this. No. That's not how it works.
Yeah, I must say, to me, the only valid scores are 1-star, 3-star, and 5 stars.
No, 1-star or 5-star. That's all you can
do. Really? Take. All or nothing?
All or nothing, baby.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listeners, do what you will.
Good.
I look forward to all the 1-star reviews that your dad's going to give us. Do you know what I actually really miss?
Tim?
No. what I really miss is being in a podcast review war with Alan Titchmarsh. I do miss that.
Yeah, those times have gone.
Ah. Those were some good times.
Back in the podcast wars of 2012?
It was 2012, I think. Yeah, it was Gibbons versus Titchmarsh. It was
1894?
Yeah, why not? Let's do that.
Sure.
Yeah, I miss those times.
We should probably get out of here.
We probably should. Anyway, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Go visit all the places on the internet Colm told you to.
Arr.
And I suppose all that's really left is for me to say that I have been Dan.
I have been Colman.
Yes, correct. Have a biscuit. And you've been listeners. So until next time, dear listeners, doodle bye.
Quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
My name's Daniel. I'm 14 years old.
Oh,
I'm
going
up in the first round. And I'm eating my dust.
You son of...
Love it.
Eating my dust.
Oh, God.
Twat.
Love you, Coleman.
Oh, thanks, mate.